Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimesinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hello, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all as we go through the wonderful Gospel of Luke, and we'll be looking at the parable of Zacchaeus, or the Zacchaeus as he meets with Jesus in Luke chapter 19 today, and we'll see how Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. A great theme in the book of Luke. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. We hope you can take the words we show you, the words we teach you, and turn them into sermons and Bible studies in your churches, in your home groups. And we pray that you'll be able to use this teaching to bless many other people. And today is particularly powerful. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, we just rejoice in your word. We rejoice in all that Jesus has shown us to do and to be. We rejoice that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. We ask that the full meaning of this passage will be obvious to us, that we'll lay hold of it by faith. You'll open up our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to understand it, to teach it, to apply it, to live it out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Okay, this is the story of Zacchaeus, and many of you know it. It's actually quite profound. Here he's saying of this person who's a sinner, who's a tax collector, who has betrayed the Jewish people by conspiring with the Romans, who's rich, who's probably lived the life of a gangster in many ways, who throws big parties, and who is someone that is despised by society, just like perhaps a gangster rapper or someone like that would be by many respectable people today. This person is completely unrespectable, and what Jesus says of him is this: since he also is a son of Abraham. How is he a son of Abraham? He is a son of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, we don't know if Zacchaeus was a Jew or a Gentile. I suspect he was Jewish. But no matter what he was, he had conspired with the Gentiles for so long that he had been rejected by the Jewish nation as a sinner and a tax gatherer, someone who was a complete outcast to society. And it says here that Jesus says he too is a son of Abraham. Galatians 3, "For all who have faith in Christ Jesus are sons of Abraham and heirs of faith." You see, he became an heir of faith. Because he had faith, because he believed Jesus, because he obeyed Jesus, he came into the full inheritance of the sons of Abraham despite having lived a wicked and terrible life, a man who was a sinner, who everyone acknowledged he was a sinner, but because he repented, because he had faith, because he was prepared to give half of his goods to the poor, because he was prepared to make a greater spiritual sacrifice than all the grumblers around him who were still clinging to their money, he was declared to be a son of Abraham, an heir of eternal life, an heir of this world. And God did this amazing change. Why? Because Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is Jesus' job. His job is not just to come and find the righteous and respectable and to find them a new church pew to sit on and give them a nice stained glass window, though that's fine. I go to a church with a stained glass window. But the job of Jesus is to seek and to save that which is lost, and that job has been passed on to his church. Jesus is the head of the church. The church is his body. So if Jesus wants to seek and save the lost, what will his body do? What will his arms and feet do? They will seek and save the lost, not just the respectable, not just the rich, the powerful, and the good-looking. Too many churches are running around honoring good-looking people. They put them up the front. Put them in the rock band. They put them as the worship leader. And they say, look, our church has lots of good-looking people. And the not-so-good-looking people, the beaten-up people, they're sitting at the back of the church. They're hiding in a corner of the church. In contrast to James, it says, the poor man comes in and you make him sit in a dishonorable place. The rich man comes in and you give him the front seat. Don't do that. Jesus has come to seek and to save the lost, the beaten up and the downtrodden. Here was Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus wanted to see faith. Jesus is always looking for faith. Remember the centurion, and Jesus said, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. And so here we are, the sons of the kingdom, what didn't have the faith that the centurion had. So Jesus is looking around. He is astonished. Great is your faith, woman. Your child is made well. We hear this over and over again. Jesus looks for faith, and people are looking for Jesus. So when Jesus sees someone that's looking for him, someone that's got a little bit of faith, then the transformation takes place. And as we saw in the last episode, where there was the blind man, and the blind man was told by Jesus, your faith has made you well. Well, in the case of Zacchaeus, his faith made him saved. It made him to go from lost to found. It made him go from darkness to light. The little bit of faith that Zacchaeus had, he wanted to see Jesus. He desperately wanted to see someone who was pure love, pure grace, and pure mercy. He'd heard about Jesus. He wasn't expecting a miracle. He didn't want his eyes healed. He didn't want to be cured of leprosy. He just wanted to see Jesus. His heart and his mind wanted to see the Savior of the world. He wanted to see someone that was full of love, kindness, and someone that would accept him, who was unacceptable except to the other gangsters like himself. He was looking for the kindness and mercy of God. And because Zacchaeus was looking for the kindness and mercy of God, the kindness and mercy of God found him. We receive what we believe for. We find what we seek when we seek with a diligent heart. If we seek the kindness and mercy of God, we will receive the kindness and mercy of God, because God is full of kindness and mercy and abounds in goodness to all those who believe. And we found he was abundant in goodness towards Zacchaeus. So when we saw the blind man, that was as he was entering Jericho. That was in the last chapter, Luke chapter 18, the last few verses. Now we find that Jesus is entering Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And he entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. There were three chief tax collectors in Israel. One was Zacchaeus. The other was Matthew. So he was in Capernaum. He was the chief tax collector in Capernaum. And then the chief tax collector in Jericho was Zacchaeus. And the third chief tax collector was in Jerusalem. And he is the one that we don't think was saved by Jesus. But the other two chief tax collectors, Matthew and Zacchaeus, they were brought into the kingdom of God. And isn't that marvelous? Okay. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your place today. You see, Jesus knew what Zacchaeus needed and wanted, even though Zacchaeus didn't say anything. Somehow, Jesus knew the name of Zacchaeus. He might have asked one of his disciples or someone in the crowd, who is that short guy in the tree over there? And they said, oh, that's Zacchaeus. He's the chief tax collector. He's a terrible person. And Jesus said, not to me. He wants the kindness and mercy of God. He's up in that tree for a reason. He's seeking me with his whole heart and mind. And so Jesus knows that this man needs social acceptance, and he gives him social acceptance, unasked for, the sheer grace of God. And in front of everybody else that had rejected Zacchaeus, Jesus says, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Well, that upset all the respectable people in the crowd. And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. And Jesus knows what he's going to say to the crowd later on, that for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He knows that these people don't approve, because the law has very strict. The law says you're either in or you're out. And according to the law of Moses, Zacchaeus was a long way out. According to the traditions of the elders, the scribes, and the Pharisees, Zacchaeus was a long way out. He was at the bottom of the spiritual ladder. He was never, ever, ever going to get into the kingdom of God because of the way he lived and what he did. But Jesus says, you're welcome. You're welcome in my kingdom. I'm going to stay at your house. I'm going to show you the mercy, kindness, and goodness of God. And he takes this man who's lived a terrible, disreputable life and turns him around in an instant. And Zacchaeus clearly gets born again. And we see the joy in Zacchaeus' heart. So he hurried down and came down and received him joyfully. Here, Zacchaeus is receiving Jesus joyfully. If you're not saved yet, receive Jesus joyfully. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to get saved. Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. He wants you in his kingdom. If he can take Zacchaeus into the kingdom, he can take you into the kingdom. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter if you're a gang member. Doesn't matter if you're alcoholic. Doesn't matter if you have HIV/AIDS. Doesn't matter if you're poor and broke. Doesn't matter if your relatives don't like you. Jesus likes you. God likes you. And God wants you in his kingdom no matter what you've done in life and no matter what people think of you. Jesus wants to restore you. He wants to restore you body, soul, mind, and spirit and bring you into his salvation, which has been prepared since the foundation of the world. God has this great feast. God has this great present. And no one's coming in to enjoy all the good things that God has prepared since the foundation of the world. He has so much for us that he, and all these people saying, no, 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 I don't want that. I want this. I want the other. And they're fussy. And they're not getting into the kingdom of God. And God is drawing in people like Zacchaeus. He's taking the blind and the lame and the naked and the bruised and all these people around the world. He's taking them into the kingdom because he has so much prepared for those who love him. And he wants all these things that he has prepared since the foundation of the world to be yours by grace through faith, through the mercy that God pours out on the world, all these wonderful spiritual blessings, eternal life, a resurrection body, to reign and rule with Christ in the age to come. All these things God has prepared for those who love him, and we are to participate in them. And Zacchaeus had a sense that God would call him into his kingdom. He knew that in his heart, in his mind, in his soul. And he joyfully received Jesus. He said, come into my house, Lord Jesus. Come and stay with me. And if you're not saved yet, say, come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come and stay with me. Forgive my sins. Turn my life around. You're the one who can change me. You're the only one who can change me. You can take me out of my dissolute, disrepaired, disgusting life. And you can take that life that has been ruined and wrecked by sin. And Jesus can save the worst of sinners. And Zacchaeus is pretty close. And the whole place regarded him as a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, in the face of the crowd, in the face of all these people, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Remember, it says he was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was obviously got rich through corruption and through collecting taxes and fees. He says, half of my goods I give to the poor. And he said it straight to God. And he was going to do it because Jesus loved him. He said, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And of course he defrauded people. He knew he'd done that. But he was going to restore it. He wasn't messing around. And he called Jesus Lord. And this is deep, true repentance. He's ready to do that which is right. He's ready to change his life. He realizes that he has a problem, but that problem is sin, and he has to get rid of it. He has to get rid of his sin and change his life, and his repentance is leading to restoration. You see, if you're a thief and you repent, you need to restore that which you have stolen. If you have been a gossip and you've destroyed people's reputations and you repent, you have to stop gossiping and start saying good things about people, so their reputations are restored. So whatever you've stolen, no matter what you've broken, you need to restore that if it's at all possible. If you've broken up someone's marriage and it's all destroyed, you need to get out of that affair. You need to leave that person behind. You need to immediately quit that immoral relationship and do the best to get them back together again. Don't ever mess with a husband and a wife. Don't get into a family and mess it up, because God will judge that. It says that in Hebrews 13. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, because in such matters God will judge. And so get out of that situation. If you're a young woman with an older man, the older man is married and he's exploiting you because maybe his wife's older and he's having an affair with you, run away from that man. Run away and let that marriage heal. Say, I've got to be out of this, and run away. Do not participate in adulterous things. Restore that which you have destroyed. Do not continue in sin any longer. Repent and restore. Make things right with people. And this is the response of Jesus to this great and deep repentance. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is the son of Abraham. What's salvation? It's the word sozo. It's a very, very big word. It covers all sorts of things. It's capital S salvation and small s salvation. We'll put it that way. Small s salvation is salvation from the circumstances of this life. Salvation from disease and blindness and poverty and hardship. Being saved out of a storm. Being saved from a car accident. That is small s salvation. The Bible still calls that salvation, but it's not eternal salvation. It's important and it's part of the covenant. It's part of what God has for you. He has Psalm 91 for you. God can deliver you out of all sorts of things that come your way. He can deliver you from all harm by faith. God is the Savior of all, especially of those who believe. Now, God is a Savior of all in the ordinary circumstances of life, like storms and car accidents. And God is the Savior of all, especially those who believe. That's eternal salvation. That's saving your soul from hell. If you do not repent, your soul will go to hell. If Zacchaeus had not repented, his soul would have ended up in the lake of fire, in eternal torment forever and ever. You must believe. You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You cannot mess around with this. God has a wonderful plan for your life if you believe. If you do not believe, if you refuse God, then you abide under the wrath of God, for the wrath of God abides on sinners. If Zacchaeus had not repented, the wrath of God would have been over his life. It would have been destroyed. It would have been cast into the lake of fire. He would have been cast into hell. You must believe. And if you believe, the salvation of God is yours. You have love, joy, peace. You are born again. You receive a new nature in Christ Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit within you as a guarantee. You receive a resurrection body. You receive eternal life. You receive all the good things that God has prepared for those who love him. And God has prepared many, many good things for you from the foundation of the world. And you will enter into that salvation by believing. You will enter into all that God has prepared for Abraham and for the children of Abraham since the beginning of time. And Zacchaeus became a child of Abraham by faith. For all are sons of Abraham through faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:29 and Galatians 3:14. So you want to believe that you are a child of Abraham, that you have the covenant of Abraham, that you will inherit the world with Abraham, and that God has destined you to walk and live with Jesus in the millennium, to rule and reign with Jesus in the millennium, God has a plan for you. But that plan depends on you believing in God. And when you believe, when you have faith in Christ Jesus, you become a son or daughter of Abraham. And it doesn't matter what you've done. Once you have faith, faith wipes out the past. That's what happens here for Zacchaeus. His past was terrible. His social reputation was trash. His life was a big pile of garbage. But that big pile of garbage was turned around and it was written into the scriptures because he put away his money and his wealth. He sought the kingdom of God. He gave half of his stuff to the poor and he went and followed Jesus. His faith, his repentance, his restoration guaranteed him a place in heaven because he believed, he received the salvation of God. And his sins, though they were great, were wiped out. His sins, though as scarlet, were made as white as snow. No matter what you've done in your past, your sins, though scarlet, can be as white as snow through faith in Christ Jesus. No matter what you've done, even if you've lived the life of a gangster or a prostitute or someone like that, that can all be wiped out through faith in Christ Jesus. The past will not matter. You will get a new start in Christ Jesus. Zacchaeus got a new start in Christ Jesus because he was fully and completely repentant. His life had changed. An astonishing miracle occurred within him because Jesus spoke to him as a real human being and said, I'm going to stay at your place. I'm going to accept you when no one else accepts you. He knew that this was God in human flesh right there speaking to him, and he received Jesus joyfully. And as he received Jesus joyfully, as the joy of the Lord came into his heart, as he gave a complete repentance, as he said, I'm done with being a gangster. I'm done with defrauding people. I'm done with being rich and selfish. I'm going to help these poor people that I've neglected so far. And so he's decided he's going to be an unselfish person instead of a selfish person. And that was his great turnaround. He turned around in the eyes of man and the eyes of God, and Jesus went to his place. And he had a great party there. And all the tax collectors and sinners came before him. And he says to the scribes and Pharisees, I have not come to call the righteous, but the lost, because it's the lost that need a physician. It's the sick who need a physician, not those who are well. And the scribes and the Pharisees and such were greatly offended. But Jesus is someone who seeks and saves the lost. He's there. He's looking for the person that's lost. He's looking for the lost sheep. He's looking for the lost coin. He's looking for the lost son. He's looking for the person that's far out on the fringes of life, who's lonely, who's confused, who's messed up. And if you're lonely, confused, and messed up, Jesus is seeking you. He wants you in his kingdom. There's no one that he doesn't want in his kingdom. And he wants you to come. He wants you to believe. He wants you to receive him joyfully. He wants you to receive all the things that God has prepared. He wants you to have eternal life. He wants you to have forgiveness of sins. He wants you to have an active spiritual life with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God comes into your heart and mind and makes you spiritually alive. So all that darkness, all those broken emotions, they get healed and you get a new spirit within you, a new spiritual life. Things are straightened out. The demonic oppression, the witchcraft, the curses get broken in your life because Jesus is Savior. He can save you out of juju. He can save you out of curses. He can save you out of idolatry and witchcraft. He can save you out of all the words that have been muttered against you by family members, clan members, witch doctors, and all those kind of people. God is a deliverer. He will deliver you from all the works of the enemy and present you gloriously before his face in glory, because that is what God does. God is the Savior of the world. All the curses in the world couldn't stop Abraham from inheriting the kingdom of God. And all the curses in the world cannot stop you from inheriting the kingdom of God if you believe, if you receive, if you repent, if you come into the kingdom of God. So don't hesitate. If you say, but I'm lost, I'm completely lost, then turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, find me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, take me out of the darkness and into the light. Take me out of my loneliness and into the fellowship of your church. Let me know the love of God in my heart and my mind. And you just cry out to Jesus. Ask Jesus, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Save me. Forgive my sins. Make me a Christian and fill me with the Holy Spirit. There's that prayer again. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Make me a Christian and fill me with the Holy Spirit. One more time. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. Forgive my sins. Save my soul. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and set me in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. And God will do it. God will forgive you. Cry out to him now, just like Zacchaeus, just like the blind man, just like those who have come to the Lord for centuries and centuries, 2,000 years now. Get ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because he has done the thing. He has gone to the cross for you. Right from the foundation of the world, that cross was prepared. Jesus was going to die on that cross for you to save you from your sins. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. Remember that. If you're not a Christian yet, remember Jesus has come for you to seek you and to save you. And if you are a Christian yet, remember that Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. Don't reject them. Go out there and bring them to Christ. Bring them to church. Share the gospel with them. Do what Jesus has called you to do. The church of Jesus Christ should be about this thing, about seeking and saving the lost, not just building a kingdom for the comfortable. So we need to seek and to save the lost. We need to be about evangelism and missions and reaching the poor and the needy. We need to show mercy to people that have broken lives. We need to be people of compassion. And we need to rise up of the church of God and realize that sometimes we're a little bit hard-hearted. Sometimes we're like the people who are grumbling and say, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Be glad that God wants to hang out with sinners, because that's how you got saved. That's how everyone gets saved. God reaches down for us in our sin, our darkness, our ignorance, our rebellion. And God heals us, God forgives our sins, and God gives us eternal life. Go out and seek and save the lost. Be a blessing to this world. Do not be those who grumble, but those who believe, those who applaud the work of Jesus, those who are glad when they see Zacchaeus saved. Be among those who rejoice when the sinners are saved. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.